voter ID, which is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania. Done.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Ah, good old Mike Terzai. He's going to try and run for governor. I don't think he's going to have a snowball's chance, but you know what? He tried. He tried to get Mitt Romney elected back in 2012. You know, the voter suppression, voter ID scam that they ran here that fortunately our Supreme Court shoved back at them. Also, you know, you look at the gerrymandering that again has been shoved back at the Republican leadership. And you take a look on the national level of Homeland Security saying, you know what? 21 states could have had some hacking into of the voting records of who's registered, of some files. We don't know yet, but it does ask the question, if all of this stuff is going on, all of the shenanigans of putting up barriers, of trying to keep people from exercising their right to the franchise, gerrymandering and rigging the map so that one side wins over the other, and oh, by the way, all of this stuff that, well, quite possibly is coming from overseas, from our enemies, or, you know what, from right within our country, with cybersecurity, it's something we absolutely, positively, unequivocally, without a doubt, have to get to. And here to talk about how we secure our ballot, how we make sure the building block of our democracy, of this wonderful experiment of self-rule, is protected and we have faith in it. I've asked Michael Sozan to come talk with us. He's a senior fellow over at the Center for American Progress. They've put out a new great piece I highly suggest people take a look at. Michael, thanks for taking time for us.
Absolutely happy to be on.
So I look at this, and you know, I'm a believer of the ballot boxes. You know, the sanctity of the ballot box is the most important thing in our democracy. If there's no faith in that box, there's no democracy, there's no country, there's no United States.
We at the Center for American Progress absolutely agree with you. So thank you for having me on to discuss an issue that really affects every one of your listeners, which is the security of our election infrastructure. Anyone who cares about democracy should care about this issue. So what the Center for American Progress did was we issued this nonpartisan report a few days ago because state election systems are vulnerable to attacks from hostile nation states like Russia, and quite frankly, we need urgent action to protect our democratic elections. But based on this Russian election hacking that happened in 2016, we know that election security is now a matter of national security, and states like Pennsylvania are on the front lines of it. So that's why we decided to do some deep research into the security of every state's election system.
So let me ask you this, because we see just about every intelligence agency, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, you're seeing all these people saying, you know, the CIA director, you're seeing all these people coming out and saying, the Russians meddled in our elections in 2016. And yet you've got the guy who's sitting in the Oval Office saying, no, there's no there. How do we move forward without the leader of the country acknowledging that we're vulnerable?
Right. And there was a really kind of stunning hearing several days ago where all of the nation's top spy chiefs came to testify on worldwide threats. This is an annual hearing that they do. And, of course, some of the conversation, much of the testimony revolved around Russia and its continued threat to our democracy. Yeah. And they, you know, each of the agency heads said that they have taken some actions. They are continuing to try to figure out how to thwart Russia from this time in 2018. We're 9 months away from the midterm elections, how to thwart Russia from meddling again with the election infrastructure. But they were asked a question by one of the senators. Has President Trump come up with a cohesive plan and ordered you guys to talk about it, to develop it, to carry it out? And the answer was no. And, you know, it's a pretty stunning thing to have happen. We're already, you know, well more than a year after the presidential election, and there's still no cohesive plan. And right. In 2016, we now have evidence from the Department of Homeland Security and elsewhere that gives us some insight into what happened.
But here's the thing, and I've said this a million times. I think the whole reason that Trump won't acknowledge it is he thinks that it will make him even more of an illegitimate president than I believe he already is. And that alone will not allow him to go, hey, you know, there was some irregularities. There was something that went on. We've got to get to the bottom of it so that next time it doesn't cut the other way. I just don't think he's capable of doing that.
Yep, and there's definitely good evidence of that. And sadly, there's also good evidence that Republican congressional leadership doesn't want to move on legislation, doesn't want to pass legislation and funding to help the state secure their election infrastructure. The good news is that actually in both the U.S. House and U.S. Senate, there is bipartisan legislation that would that is aimed at helping the states with funding and resources to get their systems up to where they need to be. Pennsylvania is one of them. I need to say that Pennsylvania received a D grade, D as in dog, in our election report. So, and Pennsylvania, many of the officials there want to do the right thing, but they need more resources. And what we're seeing, sadly, in the halls of Congress is that while there is some appetite for members of both parties to solve this problem, leadership is not allowing a vote on it, and it leaves some of us to wonder whether they too, like President Trump, feel that to allow this to go forward, to allow this legislation to advance, is some sort of admission that Russia somehow threw the election in favor of President Trump.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is what I've been saying for a very long time, and this is very partisan, so you don't have to come along. But, you know, I've been saying for the last 30 years, there's been a push, or at least since before the 2000 election, in my view, there's been a push to limit the number of people who can vote. There's been a push to subvert the elections. There's been all of this, you know, the voter ID laws, the caging, the cross-check, all of this stuff to limit the number of people who can vote. And it seems to me that it benefits the Republican Party because these are all things that they have pushed for and wanted. So it seems to me that, you know, what benefits them, they're not going to try and thwart. And right now, the Republican or right now, the Russian meddling, hacking, whatever we're going to call it, seems to benefit them. So you don't, I guess you don't bite the hand that feeds you. At least that's my thought.
Right. And that might be a dynamic at work. And that's why we have been disappointed to see that this issue is not moving forward in a bipartisan manner at the leadership levels in Congress. Because what I mean, when you think about it, the security, the sanctity of our election system and everyone's right to cast a vote and have it counted as cast is foundational to our democracy. So we are perpetually surprised that there is any disagreement, any partisanship over this issue. But when you throw on top of it, actually many of the intelligence experts who have testified in front of Congress, they have tried to actually warn the Republicans that the next time around, this could boomerang back and Republicans could be affected. And some people warned that Russians and other countries like North Korea, Iran, et cetera, might just be trying to sow all sorts of doubts and unrest in the political system, whether it affects Republicans or Democrats.
Right.
So we just think that this is an issue that needs urgent attention, and people have to put aside their partisan differences on this, and Republican leadership in Congress has to let something pass.
I mean, that's the argument I make to my Tea Party friends. You know, I say, look, this isn't about labels. This is about the future of this country and what we pass on to the next generation. And, you know, I always start off with, you know, here in Pennsylvania, we have 67 different counties. So you have 67 different sets of rules on how we do our voting. You've got the state, you know, the person from the Secretary of State who tries to help, but there's no hard and fast rules. So, you know, one machine to another machine, there's all these different requirements. And, you know, we got machines that, I'll be honest with you, I'm a super voter. I voted in every election since I've been 18. I go and I cast my ballot and I have no clue if it's counted, if it worked, where it went, or even what I voted for after I push that button. Because there's nothing in my hand to go, oh, yeah, this is it. And there's no way to count or tabulate or do any of the things that will make sure that my vote counted.
That's right. In most counties in Pennsylvania, the voters have an experience like you, which is there is not a paper-based system of voting. And I don't want any of your listeners to think, okay, well, are people calling for an anachronistic return to voting on paper and counting on paper? And no, we're not. But we are – most states, Pennsylvania is one of the outliers, have fully moved back to people being able to mark their ballots on a piece of paper, but then you electronically scan that into a machine, much like a Scantron, and, you know, when you're taking a test back, you know, in school. And so we're not saying use an old-fashioned system of counting, but there has to be some sort of paper backup that allows people to know that their vote was counted as cast, and then importantly, you can do a post-election audit, which was one of the things we graded on. And Pennsylvania's audit system is largely meaningless without paper-based ballots being used in all of its counties.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, every time I go to the ATM machine, and this is, we have the technology, it's very simple. Every time I go to the ATM, it spits me out a receipt going, this is what you did. And I look at it to make sure it's right. It makes no sense to me why we couldn't have that kind of machine for me to vote on. I get a piece of paper, and on the way out the door, I put it in a box, and that's my vote. But we count the machines because we're an instantaneous society. We've got to know immediately who wins. So you take the immediately this guy won, and then you go back and you actually count the little pieces of paper.
Well, yes, and I mean you have that. You at least have the paper there as so that you can do a meaningful audit immediately. And audits are very cheap and easy to do. Now, can I tell you there are two encouraging things that are happening in Pennsylvania that I want to say. It's not all dim. It's not all terrible because of the degrade. Encouragingly, in December, just a few months ago, the General Assembly's Advisory Committee on Voting Technology did recommend that legislative funding be made available to counties so that they can move to voting machines that have voter verifiable paper records. And then just several days ago, February 9th, your governor, Governor Wolf, ordered that counties looking to replace their voting systems try to purchase machines with paper records. And so there's been an encouragement that the counties move to that. It's not a mandate yet, and counties still can use the paperless machines, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
And anybody who lives in a county that would do that, make sure you hammer on those folks who are in control of your elections and make sure that you will remember when they come up for re-election. But, you know, here's the other part of this. You know, I think there has to be a verifiable paper trail because there's and they have to be separate. There's got to be separate ways of if we're going to use the technology that there is a, you know, old fashioned 18th century piece of paper sitting there because, you know, we hear a lot of this technology can't be hacked into. Yet I'm hearing that evidently it can be hacked into and evidently there's a possibility, although very slim, that results can be changed. Have you guys looked into any of that? Is any of that accurate? Are my fears or my concerns valid? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, your concerns are very valid that voter registration systems can be easily hacked into. And in fact, there were 21 states targeted in during the last presidential election. We know of at least one state, Illinois, where the Russians got into the entire voter database, the voter registration system, and were able to get access to 90,000 voter records. Now, there's no evidence that any of those voter records were tampered with or that votes were ultimately changed, but the Russians got that access to it. So without the proper cybersecurity requirements and minimum threshold requirements, it is possible, in fact, very easy for people to hack in. There's hackers have also shown, and computer scientists have shown, there's actually an annual conference where computer scientists and other sanctioned hackers try to get into voting machines, and they consistently show that they can get into electronic voting machines within minutes. So that's why we do need paper, because there's a paper backup trail that can allow an audit so that even if anything is tampered with, it can immediately be found.
It just seems very simple to me. And I hope people will take a look at your report, Election Security in All 50 States, Defending America's Elections. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Last line of questioning I've got for you, because, you know, at the end of all of this, while this stuff is important, and I absolutely agree with it, it's all of the other stuff, too. Because, you know, the Russians did do a bunch of meddling. I do believe that. I've been saying that for, you know, since last December. But still, it's about us. The things that I think that they did meddle with, the things that I think they were influential in, is about dividing us. And at some point, this has to come back to we, the voters, being a little more educated, a little more active, a little more judicious in the news that we consume. It's just my thought, and I'm curious yours.
Absolutely. The Russians, we know, have tried a number of different ways to meddle in the election and throw it towards Donald Trump. In 2016, and that ranged from everything from misinformation campaigns and using bots and other sort of electronic ways to push misinformation around. There's also increasing evidence that they use dark money channels to funnel money illegally into the U.S. election system. And then the other major way is what we've talked about. They're toying with the election infrastructure system, and that's why I would encourage all of your listeners to get in touch with your local state representatives, your governor, encourage them to move to a paper-based system, which is the most important thing you can do to protect your vote, and also to get in touch with your federal your congressman and your senator to encourage them on the federal level to quickly pass election security funding to help states, because we are 9 months away from the midterm elections and 2020 is just around the corner and we need the help now.
There you go. Michael, I appreciate you taking time for us. Thanks so much. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Michael Sozan. Again, check out the report, Election Security in All 50 States, put out by the good folks at the Center for American Progress. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back with your thoughts. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Show.